I flew here from St. Petersburg, Basil riposted. What of it? I'm just as disappointed as you are. But if Van can't do anything about it, there's no reason to get violent over it. They had all come from long distances, all except Gwyneth, who was studying in Barcelona at the time. Of course, with clipper ship rockets, no major transport hub on Earth was more than an hour away from any other. It took more time to drive from the airfield at New Palma to my home up here in Mallorca's hills than it did to fly from Boston. I had often considered putting in a landing field for copters or jump jets, but the thought of battling the townspeople and their dreary little community council kept me from even proposing it. I could see the town's point of view, I suppose. It truly was lovely up here in the hills, away from the thundering rockets and screeching helicopters. Not even tourist buses could get through the town's main street, so this part of the island stayed tranquil and relaxed. As I sat back in the silky comfort of my favorite couch and gazed through the sweeping windows at the Mediterranean, I realized how much I loved this home of mine. The sea was calm, its long gentle waves touched with the pink of approaching sunset. The hillside marched down to the water in a series of terraces that still held vegetable gardens and vineyards. Hannibal had seen those terraces. This land had been under human cultivation since long before history had begun to be written. The rising sea level had inundated the beaches, of course, as well as much of the old city of Palma. Even the gentle Mediterranean was swallowing up its sea coasts. Still, Mallorca was as close to paradise as I could imagine. And I was going to leave this all behind, to live in a metal cell for months at a time, so that I could risk my life and limb trying to be the first person to set foot on the red-hot surface of Venus. I shook my head at the absurdity of the position I had put myself in. But Quentin was getting pugnacious. "I don't like having promises broken," he said petulantly. "Van, you've gone back on your word." "There's nothing I can do about it," I said. "I don't believe you." My cheeks burning, I got to my feet. "Are you accusing me of lying to you?" Quentin glared at me. "You made a promise, and now you've broken it." "Then get out of my house," I heard myself say. It surprised me, but I realized that I was suddenly quite thoroughly angry. Francesca Janetta huffed, "Really, Van?" "You too," I snapped. "All of you." I swept the room with an outstretched hand and shouted, "You can all get out now. Leave me alone." For a moment there was nothing but shocked silence. Then Basil pulled his rotund body from the armchair he'd been sitting in. "I suppose I should get back to my work," he said. Basil's idea of work was to smear colors across a display screen. He was a very talented artist, everyone said, but he was extremely lazy. He could afford to be. His patroness was extremely wealthy. Nodding curtly, I said, "Yes, you should."
"I shall go back to Rome," Francesca said grandly. "I have an opera to finish."
"Good," I said. "Maybe if you put some real work into it, you'd actually finish it."
"Really?"
she said, appalled. "Go on, all of you," I repeated, shooing them toward the door. "Go!" Shocked, astonished at my outburst of poor manners, they left my house. Still hot with anger, I watched them from the window of my entertainment room. A procession of flamboyantly bright-colored automobiles, their electric engines making hardly a hum on the winding brick road that went down the hillside switchbacks and connected with the motorway.
"There they go."
I turned from the window. Gwyneth was standing next to me. She hadn't left, and I was glad of it. The word that always popped into my mind whenever I thought of Gwyneth was alluring. She had a way of looking at me, a sidelong glance through those long lashes of hers that told me she wanted me as much as I wanted her. In earlier years she would have been called a courtesan, a kept woman, or worse. To me she was a companion, a friend who shared her body and her mind with me. Gwyneth was serious, quiet, as steady as you'd want a companion to be. She had a wicked sense of humor, which she rarely let anyone see. She was slim, tiny, almost elfin, with long auburn hair that billowed beautifully in the breeze when we sailed together. Her face was to die for, with chiseled high cheekbones, luscious full lips, and almond-shaped eyes that were a golden, tawny brown.
"You're not angry with me, too, are you?"
she asked with a coy smile. I felt my anger dissolve. How could I be? She gave me an odd quizzical look.
"The way you told them off. You're starting to let the others know how strong you really are.
Surprised, I asked, Strong? Me?
Real strength,
Gwyneth said, her eyes studying my face.
Not the silly tantrums Quentin throws. You have real steel, Van, deep inside you.
You think so?
I've known it since I first met you. But you keep it hidden, even from yourself.
Then she added in a murmur,
Especially from yourself.
Suddenly I felt uncomfortable. I turned away from her and looked out at the cars disappearing down the hillside road.
You'd think they'd double up,
Gwyneth said, coming closer to stand beside me.
Not one of them offered to ride with any of the others.
I hadn't thought about that until she mentioned it. They could have driven together if they'd wanted to. The automated cars could get back to the airport rental lot just as well unoccupied. We walked together back into the broad expanse of the living room. The robot cleaners had already swept up the shattered glassware. I suppose I'll never see them again, I said. She smiled coolly.
They'll forget about your temper tantrum, as long as you have money.
Don't be cruel, I said. I didn't like to think that they tolerated me only because I helped them in their chosen fields. It was true, of course, that I was a major backer for Francesca's unfinished opera. And, come to think of it, Quentin had asked me for a loan to keep his team going. That had been more than a year ago. Not a word from him about paying it back. What would they do when they realized I was broke? I hadn't found the courage to tell them that my income had been cut off. I was living on loans reluctantly advanced by banks against the $10 billion prize dollars. Even though many of those bank officers were longtime friends of mine or the families, they grew more nervous with each passing month, as if it were their own money they were playing with. I hadn't told any of the bankers about Lars Fuchs, and apparently they were not as well informed about him as my father was. Gwyneth and I walked wordlessly out onto the terrace to watch the last moments of the sunset. The sky turned flame red, flecked with purple clouds. The sea glittered crimson. From this high up, the gentle waves lapping against once dry terraces sounded like a distant sigh. Gwyneth looked lovely in her graceful floor-length gown of gold lamé. She leaned her head against my shoulder. I slipped an arm around her waist.
I depend on your money, too, she said, almost whispering. Don't you forget that.
2 years ago, when I had first met Gwyneth, she had been a ballet student in London. Then she decided to major in art history at the Sorbonne. Now she was studying architecture in Barcelona. I was letting her use my apartment there. In the 2 years I had known her, we had never used the word love, not even in bed. That's not important, I said.
It is to me.
I didn't want to know what she meant. I enjoyed her company. In a way, I suppose I needed her. Needed her common sense, her emotional support, her quiet strength. She pulled away from me once the sun had dipped below the horizon. I gestured toward the French doors and we went back inside.
You realize,
Gwyneth said as we sat together on the couch beneath my one and only Turner,
that most of them are glad they're not going with you.
With a nod, I replied, Yes, I thought I saw relief on their faces.
Not Quentin's, though, she smiled. Quentin's simply better at disguising his real feelings.
But he was so eager to go.
At first, she said. Over the past few weeks, though, his ardor cooled considerably. Didn't you notice?
No. Why do you suppose? Gwyneth lifted her slim shoulders slightly in a miniature shrug.
I have the feeling that the closer you got to actually taking off on your expedition, the more Quentin, and the others too, realized that they were frightened.
Frightened?
Of course.
Were you frightened too?
Of course,
she repeated. I sank back onto the cushions and thought about that for a moment. Yet they all agreed to go. You too.
It sounded exciting at first, going to Venus and all that. But it is dangerous, isn't it?
I nodded, and before I realized what I was saying, I admitted, I'm frightened too.
Ah, she said.
I don't want to go through with it. I really don't.
Then why do it?
I need that prize money. Gwyneth sighed.
It always comes down to the money, doesn't it?
I've made an idiot of myself.
Not if you go through with it, she said. When you return, you'll be financially independent of your father for the rest of your life. That's worth something, don't you think?
I could get killed. She gave me an odd look.